Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today is my fellow writer on the Shotgun Posse, Jack Mullen. And off the break, we were talking about cowboys and some of these old TV shows. Hard to believe we could even think about stuff that, you know, is old. You know, like I used to look at old as what was in my dad's or my grandfather's generation, but now it's my closet. Things in there are old and very different, you know, from what we see today. And that's why I like to find some old TV shows and put them on the website so that you can see the this massive change in the world. Actually, speaking of that, I meant to sometimes, you know, like I'll think about something days in advance and then I forget about it. And that's why I reminded myself. So I put up an old episode of Lost in Space. And it is a textbook lesson plan on understanding the mind of the psychopath in a way that's suitable for children. So it was episode 3, first season, Island in the Sky. And the great villain, Dr. Smith, is the perfect psychopath. Like, he will do anything to get his way. So to get their spaceship off this planet that they crashed on, he's quite willing and prepared to kill the family that's on with him and just save the pilot so that he can get back to Earth. This is the way the mind of the politician or the you know, mass megalomaniac of industry or banking, finance, or whatever, that's the way their minds operate. They have absolutely no care in the world for what they crush to achieve their objectives. They are the true psychopaths. And this gives you a mind of the way he lies. It's so sweet. He could be elected president, no doubt about it. The way he lies and deceives people, and then, you know, you get to see what's going on in his mind, what his ulterior motives and plans are. This is a good way to educate yourself, and especially the younger generation coming along, about how this works. So when they see this in real life, that they know and recognize it for what it is and protect themselves from it. The music that they play is oh so sweet, but it's all done to catch you in a trap. And it's not a trap you want to get into. And the whole world is like that, like these globalists that want to take us into, you know, this one world system. It's all going to be peace and love and brotherhood, and we sit by the river and play the guitar, and there's no more wars. And I just look at that, are you idiots? You know, the worst war you can have is a civil war. So even if you had one giant spectacle of a, you know, a world global community, there's nothing to say that it couldn't have a civil war. It's the evil in people's hearts that can bring that about. And no system that we have is immune from that, because people are in it. And even if they go to the artificial intelligence managing it, just through a misinterpretation of programming, they can totally destroy us and wipe it out, probably far more effectively than if we did it ourselves. Maybe it would just be a little more painless because they wouldn't enjoy it so much. But they just don't have any answers, especially because the big answer is, you know, if we all live in harmony and love each other like Jesus said, well, then there'd really no big deal to steal everybody's money and gain dominion over them. It just wouldn't have any meaning or viability for you. Be happy with what you've got. Enjoy it. Share what you can. And you can live a better way. Brexit, that was one news item, and I've said it before. It's going to the Supreme Court now. But I look at all these courts as just being, because whether you're appointed or elected, I don't think it really is going to matter too much. Many of the judges are under the control of the big money power players, period. And I think we're seeing this in the persecution of James Fetzer for his opinions. You know, he's always being rode on the carpets and set up in a state where he can't get a lawyer. Like, excuse me? Like, you know, even if he was Charles Manson, he could get a lawyer. Even if he was the Sandy Hook shooter, he could get a lawyer. But to talk about it, you can't have a lawyer, and we're going to put you up against the wall and stuff like that. No. It doesn't matter what you're accused of. We have to have a system of checks and balances and a procedure to go through that is fair and impartial. And this seems to be like a lynch mob of one sort or another. And I feel that here, being in Canada, to, you know, to be a conservative-minded, but especially being a gun owner or something like that, is we see with the election coming up that we're being vilified to the point of, you know, I would almost say I could compare being a gun owner in Canada today in 2019, just before the election, as maybe you were someone of the Jewish faith in Germany in 1933 before Hitler's election. You're breaking out in a sweat because you're going to see things happen where you could be deprived of licenses, have your property seized, get terms in incarceration, and if you resist in any way, you'd just be executed summarily because they're afraid of you. And, you know, okay, we have a big crime problem primarily in a lot of the big cities. I can speak better of Toronto because I hear about that news all the time. There's a drug war going on. You know what? Nobody from the gun club is participating in this. Hunters aren't participating in this. Gun collectors, sports shooters, target shooters, Olympic athletes, you know, they could probably pop away quite a few people. They have the skill set, but they're not involved in this. It's a criminal underclass of warriors that are fighting this drug war. And even if you killed every legal gun owner in Canada, the next night there's going to be a shooting in the drug war. That's just the way it is. So why are you going after the wrong people? And I get the feeling we were set up, and I've heard this from criminal lawyers that have confided in me, that we had a Project Gunrunner as well, where our police allowed guns to go into the hands of criminals to try to track them, just like you did. That's the beautiful thing about goofballs. Sometimes it's a commonly accepted goof that everybody falls for and participates in. And that these guns are being used. And, of course, that is state secret number one. We can never admit that we participated in something like this, because every purchase of a handgun legally here in Canada has to go through whatever police authority is established. In most provinces, it's the RCMP. In my province, it's the Ontario Provincial Police. Nothing gets approved until they review everything and stamp it. So if somebody made a straw purchase for 20 or 40 guns, they did it with police approval. And if some of those guns were found at crime scenes later, you got to scratch your head and wonder. And I don't wonder too long, because I know about, like I talked about that book, NATO Secret Armies, the video NATO Secret Armies. Right. They've always done this. This is how they master us. They scare us like cattle by firing shots and getting us into a panic, and we come running to them for protection. And they just smile and laugh as we lick their boots in this begging process. And they take away more of our rights and freedoms, more of our money. It's a revolving thing. It's been going on probably since the dawn of time, if we look back far enough. And we fall for it all the time, every time. And my question is, what do you got planned this time? And I don't think it's good, with the tech companies talking about capturing our minds and maybe even our souls into an artificial intelligence database, or turning us into a part cyborg, part person thing. And then you want the guns and we take away free speech. And we get into the transhumanist agenda where, you know, see, robots don't have gender, right? There's a big clue for me where we're going. So it's out of the blue. It just seemed to come somewhere. You know, all of a sudden, there's yesterday, and then there's a today, when the transgender issue is the most important issue on the planet Earth. It was even more important than their global warming hoax. Well, why did that happen? Because the powers that be, and maybe it is the hidden race that lives among us, decided and told them this is the way it's going to be. You're all going to be turned into robotic slaves. I've said that from day one. It reminded me of the Borg on Star Trek when they talked this stuff. That we're just like a hive colony controlled by some master computer or individual, and we have no more freedom for anything, anywhere, anyhow, period. And this is what we're going for. Walking into blindly, begging them to give, you never give a politician more power. Like giving the hangman more rope. He's going to hang more people with it. You just don't do it. And when you see the assault on free speech as well, what difference does it make? If there's a small group of people meeting in a barn somewhere talking the most foul stuff that would make you want to vomit, who cares? You know what I mean?
Right.
Who cares? They're just saying something. Okay, well, yeah, if they gathered weapons and they tried to do something about it, okay, well, now that's a public order importance. But the fact that they hold opinions or thoughts means nothing to me. Because by and large, overall, in almost anything, we all have an error factor of one sort or another, where we're all wrong. So there's no sense to be fighting and killing each other over anything. Usually, if we get opposing points of view together, we can refine and establish a better truth if we do it open-mindedly and in good sense. To say, okay, what about this? What about that? What about this? Yeah, I never thought about this. I never thought about that. And we get a better answer, a better solution. But when we're basically threatened to just shut up, it just reminds me of that Stalinist, Maoist, or Nazi type of upbringing where you have a total, complete police state. I sent you a movie. I know you wanted to comment on that from, and this is a good one. You know, it's not for children. Let me tell you that. Probably not for people that are, have any emotional weakness. But this is the hard and fast reality. 1992 Russian film called The Chekist, about the secret Cheka police in Russia doing their, basically, genocide in the day. Your trial went like this. Vladimirich so-and-so of such-and-such, alleged crime, guilty, sentenced to death. You're not even in the room. And they just go through a long list of people, and for some strange reason, a lot of them seem to be Orthodox Christians, the intelligentsia, Tsarists people, and or anybody that they just didn't like. And you're just killed on an industrial scale in a slaughterhouse. What did you think about that one?
I liked that. I didn't like, I don't want to say I like, but I mean, I thought it was amusing that they pointed out, for example, when they were declaring who is going to be killed next, which it was just an indiscriminate mass murder of anybody with Christian background, you know, an intelligent type person, somebody who could think, even people with glasses, and white people in general were targeted. But one of the ones was, what is the charge? And one of the guys said he resisted confiscation, and his father did too. Or no, he resisted confiscation, and his son did too. And they said execution. Actually, they said firing squad. They had a word for that. I think it was squad. But yeah, my comment on that movie, and I got fascinated by Bolshevik Russia a long time ago. And one of the early books that I still think about was the book written by Ayn Rand, Alice Rosenbaum, called We the Living, which was about, it was a story, kind of an autobiographical, but it was fictional, about her escape from the Soviet Union back in 1921 or two. I don't remember the exact date, but regardless, the movie, I mean, some of the things that she mentioned and many others that I've read, and including the Solzhenitsyn books, is that these people, the white Russians, didn't make any attempt to avoid their demise. They accepted their, you know, pronouncement of guilt and quietly walked to the room where they were shot to death. And they had to, they shot so many of them a day that, you know, I'm sure they ran out of bullets. I mean, five at a time from, what, 7 a.m. in the morning till midnight, who knows. And they, no one, I mean, in the whole movie you saw maybe two people attempt to do something that might have disrupted it or given the others some interest in trying to fight back. But these people marched dutifully straight to their death. And I think that that's some form of white person, you know, Achilles heel, and some sort of brain issue that has to be addressed. Because I know that Solzhenitsyn said in his book, the Gulag Archipelago, or however you say that, that, you know, had any of these people just raised, you know, a screwdriver or picked up a chair or did something to stop these people from coming to their door at night, it could have turned around and been something entirely different, but they did not. And they did the same thing when they handed their government over to the Bolsheviks. Basically, Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin came late, basically just walked into town casually and went up to, you know, the government offices and assumed control, and everyone stood down without any kind of fight at the moment. So I don't know what it is about people that do this sort of thing, but you're going to get a lot more comfortable death if you're going to be killed anyway, if you fight back. And, you know, just the action of fighting is natural. It's self-defense removes all sorts of pain from your body. It chemically releases, these various painkillers and endorphins, et cetera. And so I just was amazed. I don't know if you noticed that about it, but it wasn't a movie of protest. It was just a movie of herds of people being moved from one room alive to the next room where they were asked to quietly take off their clothes and give up all their valuables to the pirates and then go stand against the wall naked and get shot in the back of the head, hopefully.
Well, you know, we must be soulmates because, you know, Solzhenitsyn and the Gulag Archipelago were on my tongue, ready to roll out too. So, you know, very, very true, and he did say that. And, you know, in the action thriller genre, I'd like to see it was probably more like Enemy of the State with Gene Hackman to say, yeah, you know, you can come, but it doesn't mean you're getting out in one piece. And that's the way you tenaciously fight for your liberty. Another major, major military history operation is the Japanese assault on Nanking. And that was the same way. Like, they marched tens of thousands of prisoners into the river to drown them, chained up. And the same thing, like, if you know what you're getting, like, why would you ever surrender?
Right.
You know, there was only two men, as I understand it, in the whole city that put up any physical resistance, and they had, you know, like hunting shotguns, so probably double-barrel shotguns. And that no one resisted, that they just accepted this fate. And it's probably one of the most, you know, horrific slaughters in human history, but there's also you know, a lot of heroes there, especially medical people and diplomats, that set up a compound for people and tried to keep them under cover of their diplomatic immunity. And it was only, you know, a few thousands that they could look after. But two of the greatest heroes in the place were two American surgeons who were operating nonstop. One worked himself to death because he couldn't sleep. He'd sleep 4 hours a day because he said, every hour I sleep, so many people die. How can I sleep? And you had to look at these two individuals and just, you know, just tears come to your eyes to know that there can be people just so heroic. The other doctor, you know, he had to take time off, and he didn't apologize for it because, you know, he would just work himself to death anyway. And then there's no doctors. But the other one was the nurses. You talk about heroes in World War II. You know, these nurses that standing up against the Japanese army, all right, well, you did your however long your shift is to try to tend to the wounded, and then you got to do night security to hold off a band of soldiers armed with big rifles and big bayonets looking for girls. And you're just standing there in your little white uniform telling them, you know, hands off. You can't come in. And putting up physical resistance to stop them from coming in to steal the women. And one night they got through. And I wish I could remember the nurse's name, but, you know, at least I can remember her story. But she was so overcome with grief that she couldn't hold them back that night, that they slipped through one night and they took some young girls away and murdered them. That, you know, it haunted her for the rest of her life. And when she came back to the States, I believe she killed herself from that. And I just going like, well, you know, something I've told a lot of people that are on the front lines for a lot of things, you're not God. You just do the best you can. Sometimes it's enough. Sometimes you fall short and it can't be enough because it's impossible for any human being to muster that much. But the fact that you did so much on every other day and saved so many other lives is something to cherish and just mourn for the day that it wasn't enough, and you got to move on with your life and accept that things happen. And but just the outright courage of so many people against a whole army. And then you look at, you know, what I look at, you know, like you say, how they marched everybody off and they just willingly go to their death, which is very common. You know, one where you had soldiers doing that was with the Armenian genocide.
Right.
And they were in the army. They were told to surrender their rifles, and they did. and then they were all lined up and taken on a death march in the desert. That probably made the Bataan death march look like a joke, because those were grown men and soldiers, not women and children and old people, sick people, starved, deprived of water, beaten with rifle butts, the same type of thing, and forced to expire on this death march. Like you said, would, you know, if you're looking at days, weeks, or months of something like that, you might as well get it over with and go down fighting.
Right.
Because, you know, like, I think if a lot of the soldiers knew what was coming in captivity on the Japanese side, they never would have surrendered.
Exactly.
For what? You know.
Right. And when you ask for unconditional surrender, as the Japanese and the Germans got, and you can expect them to hold, try to hold out longer, but the idea that you want unconditional surrender means that you're going to be treated in the most horrendous way, the most inhumane way, you know, known to mankind. And so the demons that called for those types of surrender should be suspect. And anyway, if we could just get most people to have some modicum of education, and naturally this group of people that have infiltrated and taken over, usurped the United States, have seen to it carefully that there's no real education, and that thinking for yourself is something you cannot do. You said it earlier, everything is, I think it was when we were talking offline, but everything is politically incorrect now. And so you have rules for speech. You know, for example, the new thing is worried about somebody's gender pronoun, and you know, there's colleges in my area that require their faculty to take these classes on how to properly address somebody. You know, if I see somebody looks like a man and I say, sir, that's respectful as far as I'm concerned, and I don't need you to tell me how to identify somebody I can see in front of me. And I don't understand why people allow this to happen. It's difficult for me not to even laugh at it, because it's insane and it's immoral. It's clearly designed to make every individual some sort of controlled minion who is told how to speak, what to say, how to address somebody. I don't know of any greater prison that one could live in without walls, and that's what we are being confined to now, is a world which is a prison without walls, and you are being disarmed purposefully. They don't go after, and I want to give you just a real quick thing here. I hope the music doesn't start for a second, but you know, the, when we had the El Paso shooting, I went ahead and went through the research of Colin Flaherty and found that there were 36 mass shootings.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Hour, and I wanted to let you know about the Mastering Vaccine Information Bootcamp from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, an 8-week online intensive training course that covers herd immunity and the truth about what safe and effective really means. Most importantly, you will learn key concepts to stand your ground. The course information coupled with the language training is what makes this course both unique and powerful. Open enrollment is from September 26th through October 1st. Sign up by visiting MasteringVaccineInfo.com.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today, Jack Mullen, writer for the Government Rag, loyal, patriotic American who does something that is totally politically incorrect. He thinks for himself, and he reads and analyzes things without the aid of Big Brother telling him what the answer is before they burn his books. This is just absolutely unheard of. And, you know, we were dabbling here about the incident in Texas, and we got cut off for the break. Please continue, Jack.
All right, thank you, sir. And remember, when all the books become digital, and you don't have the slightest idea what the content is after that, and that is a absolute fact of cybersecurity that anything digital can be changed and will be changed. And so, back to my conversation, we hear about these, this so-called white supremacism, and you and I talked earlier, George, about the fact that it's important to talk about gun control today. We talk about this all the time, but it can't be repeated enough. Gun control only has one motivation. That is to take guns from law-abiding or people that are basically half zombies now, citizens who might, under some strange circumstance, become aware of what's happening and then organize and take back what belongs to them. And so to ensure that can happen, there's no concern at all for criminals. This is not about worrying about crime. It's not worried about people who already have demonstrated they're not going to turn in their guns, which is everyone who does, you know, criminal activity or the real mass murders in the country. They only go after the guns of people that are the same as the Czechists who stand in line to get shot in the head. You will hand over your weapons, you will not fight back, and you will be disarmed. When the time comes, we will eat your lunch. We will take your gold, your silver, we'll come to your house and take your food. We'll take anything you have of any value to us, and then if we feel like it, and probably will, shoot you then. But if you have a gun, you may be an inconvenience. And so I noted that 2 weeks before the so-called shooting in El Paso, Texas, which itself was quite convenient and has many, many holes for the conspiracy theorist, and I noticed that the 2 weeks prior to that, as I said, I looked through Colin Flaherty's data. Colin studies mass shootings in the United States, specifically by blacks, because they do more than 75% of the mass shootings in the United States. They are the primary mass shooters. And a definition here is three or more shot at a time. And if we look between July 27th and the day of the shooting, which was August, I think it was August 3rd. Now I've that date dropped out of my mind, but I think that's what it was. I listed 36. There's actually more, but 36 mass shootings. I've got them in an article, but I haven't published it yet. But I see, you know, as many as 12 people shot in Brownsville, Brooklyn, July 27th. Philadelphia, 21 dead, 5 wounded. In Philadelphia on 28th, 6 shot in Southwest. In Uniontown, Pennsylvania, multiple shootings injure 4 people. In Chicago, 7 shot in Lincoln Park. And I won't read them all. But this is what it does. You go on and on and on. These are all shootings. They all involve blacks basically shooting blacks. And many of them have mass casualties. For example, on the same day as the El Paso shooting, I mentioned this before on the show, there were 2 mass shootings in Chicago, 55 shot and 7 dead in 2 mass shootings. That's the same day, almost over the same time period. But we don't hear one peep, not a sound, not a sentence, about these shootings in mainstream media. All we hear about is the Anti-Defamation League and their minions talking about the problem of the white supremacist. And so you, as a thinking person, regardless of what race you are, know for sure that the white supremacist idea is only because that is a targeted group that is being selectively prepared for some form of genocide. Now, genocide doesn't necessarily mean you die on day A. It means that there's a system or an approach to your dwindling, and it may be just dwindling in power. But in this case, it's going to be dwindling in numbers, and eventually probably a large-scale mass murder like happened in the Soviet Union. And so when we talk about gun control, we're not just crazy idiots that believe that, you know, if you have a gun in your hand, you're going to shoot somebody. We understand that without the ability to find your own best choice weapon, then you really have no chance at all. And if somebody is deliberately every single day on the news, if you listen to, say, for example, one of the mind-bending and anti-American hateful news media, like, say, ABC News, you'll hear something every single day about the white supremacist. And you'll hear about, for example, yesterday in the Senate, there was some sort of meeting in the Senate. I want to bring it up here so I can see if they identify the name. It says U.S. Senators grill Facebook, Google, and Twitter on extremism content. And so we see that we got a group of people here from these three corporations who are involved with social media. And this is a psyop, because it is the social media that are being targeted to censor the voice of people who are not violent extremists, but rather are telling the truth about what's happening in this world. And so Congress comes to these groups and asks them what they're doing about the violent extremism on the Internet. And it was an interesting group of people. I think if I could find the... in this sentence here, one of the people on the panel that was doing the questioning of Google, Facebook, and Twitter happened to be a representative from the ADL. So at the hearing, Facebook head was there, Twitter guy was there at the table, Google Global Director of Information and Policy was there, and the Anti-Defamation League was there with a guy named George Selim. And so you have to ask yourself, what is it? How does the ADL get to tell us what we're allowed to say? And that's all they do all the time. They never stop talking about anti-Semitism and white supremacism and white nationalists and what sort of speech would be considered okay and what would be called anti-Semitism as opposed to, say, free speech. But we're told by these people all the time, 24/7, what it is that we can say. We would have to then wonder what it is that they're trying to prevent from being said. And I think that if you can come to the conclusion that gun control is not about protecting you or any concern at all for your family, but in fact is to protect a certain group. It doesn't have any concern at all for actual violent crime. Cities like Chicago are ablaze with guns. You mentioned that politicians see that the guns get in their hands. There was a time back in the 1980s when the Clintons were involved with dumping an enormous cache of military-style weapons in Los Angeles. Now, I don't remember the exact details of that now. I've read it a long time ago. But all of a sudden, the Crips and the Bloods are well-armed. And this is the sort of thing that happens. This is to create the problem. And then, of course, we have, you know, the reaction and, as David Icke would say, the solution. And the solution is to disarm us. We're supposed to believe that the problem comes from within our ranks, that we produce the people that make the problem. But, in fact, we do not. The system does. It creates it, and it manufactures it out of thin air the same way they manufacture their currency. There are stories about going to the moon, and most of the news media is news stories. They're just fabrications designed to create an emotion, and from that emotion get a reaction, and then they provide the solution. So I know that you wanted to talk about gun control, and I went a little off the...
it's a good act you're playing there, too, and... You know, here in Toronto, we had a, well, actually it was Mississauga, but on the fringe of Toronto, there was a shooting at a little parkette, and seven shooters come and open fire on people making a rap video. And an innocent bystander, you know, probably beautiful young student, male student, was shot in the head and killed. His mother found his body, and of course that becomes the latest trophy for the gun banners and such like that. But, you know, my question is, like, if you're part of the drug war, I can understand why you had some to shoot. What would possibly interest that you find seven people to band together to shoot at people in a parkette doing a rap video? It doesn't make any sense to me. What does make sense to me is this is part of like an Operation Gladio thing, where you have seven operatives from a very highly classified secret unit in the military or the police opening fire on these people because there's an election coming and we want to whip it up and get basically a lynch mob put together so that we can take to the tree every licensed gun owner in the country from sea to shining sea. That's what I see in that, knowing the intelligence history. And, you know, people come up with this crap about this conspiracy theory. So it's deductive reasoning. And if you want to see how the state works, the states are evil. But you can go on YouTube and you can watch the Truth and Reconciliation hearings in South Africa. And you can hear the police, the military, and the intelligence agencies confessing under oath what they've done. And you tell me that we're shining little angels looking in a mirror somewhere. Not a hope in hell, buddy. And
right.
We're just as dirty and as evil as they are. You know, a top Canadian intelligence directorate manager was taken down. He was with the RCMP. And they said, you know, what he knew could pretty much shake the Five Eyes Nation's intelligence network. And then they release a little snippet as something to do about, you know, that they were given gangbanger or organized crime members' phones that they could tap. Well, if you're into any kind of intelligence, period, you know that is your shining hole, is that you've got some type of communication device that the enemy is going to get their hands on and infiltrate and take information from. That just, you don't even have, if you don't know that, you're in the wrong line of work. It's like you're a plumber and you don't know what a pipe is. So
right.
It had to be something that was earth-shattering. And the only two things I can come up with earth-shattering are, you know, they're fixing the elections because this guy was an expert in bots. And maybe he released something to somebody or just gave up the ghost on something. Or the other one is the intelligence agencies are under the control of and in the cahoots of whatever entity really controls this planet and all the politicians. And that's scaring them. And, of course, you know, the Storm Area 51 movement thing is on my news too from Catherine today that you know, a U.S. Air Force general warns we have to be protective of our secrets. Well, if we're a government of, by, and for the people, why do we have secrets? The only reason we have secrets are is because we're not a government of, by, and for the people. We're taken over by a hostile force and they have secrets. And if we knew what those secrets were, believe me, there'd be some serious stuff going on at the town square because people would just be fed up with it. But I believe what they've done in these areas is they've sold us down the river tooth and nail. in probably ways you couldn't even begin to speculate. It would make Lost in Space look like a comedy in a way. And these are very important issues that are on the table. Why all this secrecy? Why do we need secrecy? The other side knows everything anyway. You know, like in the war, Stalin knew everything was going on in the White House because he had a spy right inside the administration. And pretty much Roosevelt had a spy in Stalin's organization, too, and everybody else. There are no secrets. And the secrets are from us, we the people. That's where there's the secret. They're always prying into our bedrooms, our communications. That's another news item here where Google reads all your email. It's something I've tried to explain to a friend of mine who sometimes gets fussed about the manner of an email. I said, I don't own Gmail. And in mine, you know, it's not like I wrote something on a piece of paper and sent it in an envelope. And even if I did, it's intercepted in the post office and they can take it away somewhere and do stuff to it. That's just the history of the way it's been since there's been any kind of mail. And so if something's changed, altered, deleted, or something funny happens or something like that, that ain't my baby. It goes one way. How you get it, I have absolutely no control over. And so there's no sense getting fussed over anything or that, because that's what they're trying to do, is get you fussed over things. You know who your allies are. You stick with them like glue, and it doesn't matter, what Comrade Google does or doesn't do to your communications. But everything you do is stored. They're creating, some sort of behavioral analysis of you for, you know, how the noogie is going to be applied to you when the time comes, who's on this list, that list. And one of the other things, you know, you're being conditioned for complete and total incarceration. And like you said, how everybody just lined up and took it. You ever been on a plane? You just line up and take it. And it's no different than instead of walking through a corridor to get onto, you know, the platform that takes you to the airplane, you're getting into the place where the execution chamber is. You're stripped, analyzed, your stuff's taken, you walk in there, you're being conditioned, right? I watch some old movies, and you just see people getting on a plane like they're getting on a bus, right? And it's like, wow, man, that's like my childhood. You know, I want to go back. And I could care less if somebody blew up the plane. And you know why? Because I was free. I was free. Everybody around me was free. And it was probably a couple of people on the plane packing heat anyway. But you didn't have to worry about some guy jumping out and saying, this is a hijack, take me to Cuba, because he probably never would have got the word Cuba out of his mouth. And it would have been over. And the beauty of that, you just can't even imagine. You see it in some of the old commercials, too, especially about cigarettes, because Violet smoked and other dirty things like that. But, you just see people walking on a plane. I love it. Like, to me, that's just like, I want a big frame poster of that in my bedroom to say, there was freedom once. And then you look at now, everything's got to be, you got to be afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid. I'm going to x-ray you with stuff that's going to melt your kidneys, but you're not going to die in a plane crash. You're going to die 2 years later of cancer. Oh, thank God. I was so afraid. You know. But anyway, I got to do something quick for Catherine, too. I forgot to do the promos for the week. Vaccine Boot Camp Promotion, Mastering Vaccine Info, Boot Camp with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Don't miss the fall. Boot Camp, open enrollment, September 26, 2019, October 1st, 2019. Visit MasteringVaccineInfo.com for more information. 10% off Silver Botanical Deodorants, 10% off Sherry Rogers, Happy Bodies Detox Cocktail Mix, Happy Bodies HBPC Phosphatidyl Choline. Boy, I got to study for some of those words anyway. But you get 10% off the Sherry Rogers products. And that's important stuff. And hopefully they teach you some good things at boot camp, too. But that's another whole facet of the loss of control of your body, is that they can pump all kinds of dangerous things under the guise of health into your body and basically destroy you. One of my news items down at the bottom, too, was this drug that came out that was stopped because it has a cancer-causing agent in it. Generic Zantac, halted worldwide for contamination concerns. So, you know, don't believe that Big Pharma's bad. That's just a conspiracy theory, but there's a cancer-causing ingredient put in this. They probably put it in a lot of the things that we're taking and ingesting. And why are they doing it? Because something's killing us like rats. And they want to do it. The other big story we never had time for was the mosquitoes, the GM mosquitoes. As soon as I heard they're going to genetically modify mosquitoes, I was like, right away, you're creating Frankensquito. And guess what? They created Frankensteino, so it was never supposed to mix with the other mosquitoes, but now it's immune and impervious to a lot of things that may have killed mosquitoes. I think it was something in the Bible, you know, in the Ten Commandments, something about graven images. I looked at that graven images as like tampering with the DNA and making a substitute of life that isn't really life. And that can even be further with a robotic form of life, that we make a graven image. It looks like something that's man, but really it goes buzz, click, buzz, click, buzz, click, and then it lets you have it. Because this force or thing that Colonel Corso was talking about, the silicon-based life form, has no use for the carbon critters, and they want to eliminate us all. And our leaders, if they're even human or real, are hooked, hook, line, and sinker into this to eliminate us slowly with poisons here, poisons there. But you just can't. How could everybody be so stupid on so many fronts to challenge the biosphere with what really kills us and then invent global warming like it's something real? And with our election here in Canada, like, you know, I love to hear the Green Party candidate. They're very big anti-gun, too. And then their radical speakers say, we have to get rid of the syrupy ethos of democracy and have a green Gestapo to do what's necessary. Like, if a white supremacist talked like that, he'd probably be doing 20 years. And this guy gets off scot-free, and then all their leaders and followers want to take away the guns, so it's easier to get rid of that syrupy ethos and take you to where they want to take you, the killing fields. It's, you know, how obvious does it have to be? Well, I guess it'll be more obvious when it happens, but this is what they do. And, of course, she's also big on a free education. 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, free education. The 8 planks of fascism, free education. Because they got your brain and they can program it so that you think boys are girls are boys, guns are bad, freedom's bad, whatever Big Brother says is good, and get rid of anybody who disagrees with you by force if necessary. And there's your free education, because you're not taught how to think, you're taught what to think. And so just because you got a piece of paper doesn't mean crap if you don't know how to think. It's a terrible, terrible thing we face, but there's one thing, we're not alone. We're here at Power Hour Nation, and there's a whole nation of people that can think and study and analyze things and look at things and come up to conclusions. And that's why I say the easiest war that was ever fought is this information war. All you got to do is change the channel. And why people are so addicted to this TV crap with the TV news and all their lies, you know, once you start coming home every day to a liar, sooner or later you get a divorce. You're coming home every day to a liar. Why do you turn that box on in the first place when you can come here? And people are honestly, heartfeltly trying to make a better world, to keep you informed, to save the Republic and all the attached nations that are attached to Power Hour Nations from walking into a devastating trap. And how can you not appreciate that? I look at that when, you know, when I hear that sound, you know, even old sounds from a long time ago, you know, I hear the lead-in music or Joyce Riley coming on the air, and it's just like, there's just like a feel-good wave comes through your whole body, just go, wow, I remember those days, you know, and it was just like getting on a plane, and I didn't have to get, you know, the body cavity search on the way or anything like that. It was like my last time on a plane, that's how long ago it was, I'm not interested in participating in the system like that. Last time I was on a plane, I got invited to the cockpit with my children as we flew over the Rockies to look at the mountains. And that was a long time ago. And you know what? It felt good. And when it feels good like that again, I'll consider it again. Because then I'll know I'm free. Just being a prisoner to go from one cell block to another cell block really doesn't have any appeal to me anymore. And for nothing. There's nothing you could offer me just to change cell blocks. But to get my freedom back, wow, that's worth it.
Now you get to go from one tax field to another. You know, basically we're all just herd animals in various fields with tags on our ear. And even to fly now, you have to have specific type of driver's license in the United States. It's not good enough that you have your birth certificate and a passport, but you also have to have a federal ID. And it's just, why would they target transportation, you know, so viciously? Obviously, it's because they don't want you to have the ability to move freely. They want to know where you're going, and they want to tell you you can get there, and if they want you to go, and you can't get there if they don't. I went to Iceland a few years ago, and I remember getting on the airplane in New York was like going through something out of a dystopian nightmare, and you searched and in a line with people that were being taken aside, and then you get off the plane in Iceland and you walk straight off the plane out into the lobby. I mean, it's like, wow, where is this kind of world that we used to have? But it's gone now.
We allowed it to be taken away from us through fear. And the big thing is, it's just like in a, you know, trade union movement. You want to shut down the factory? Well, you know what to do. You go on strike. Nobody flies for a while until you get your freedom back. Well, sooner or later, the airlines go out of business, and whoever takes over might have a different philosophy. But to live in that organized slave state that they've made this is, to me, it's like, say, you go to another country, and, okay, you can be free there. Well, if it's so easy for terrorists to do something, why don't they pick on a plane in Iceland? Well, they don't, because
right.
The terrorists work for the state anyway, and that's something that, you know, the broad numbers of people just remember that with, you know, the underwear bomber. Joyce did a lot of great shows and stuff. That was almost like funny to talk about, the Gachi bomber. And he was put on a plane by an intelligence agent. So how many lineups? It doesn't matter what lineups. He was taken out of the line, taken into an office, and put on the plane with false documents.
With no passport.
No passport. Nothing would have mattered. So all this is an exercise in futility because the state does the terrorism and they could have hauled this guy in any way, shape, or form. They could have put him in the cockpit if they wanted to. And nobody could say anything about it except maybe the pilot got nervous and walked off and said, I ain't flying this thing. Not today, man.
I agree. So anyway, I know we're going to run out of time. I want to mention the governmentrag.com and the blog.thegovernmentrag.com is two locations where things that Stephanie Sledge has written live, and myself. He also has a new book out now. Go there and find out what might really have happened to Sandy Hook. And, George, thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you. We'll be regular partners from here or there as we ride off into the sunset, trying to be like the old Western and hit them off at the pass and make everything work out right. God bless you all. We'll see you the next time.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.